And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I'm GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns. And we welcome you guys back to this preview edition as Minnesota attempts to do something they haven't not done in a very long time, and that's win five straight Big Ten games in this Saturday night tilt against the Cornhuskers of Nebraska down in Lincoln. So, Luke, how are you on this Thursday evening?
I'm doing pretty well. This will be an interesting preview. I guess I'll start with this. I'm just going to cut right to the chase. Ryan Burns, does Tommy Armstrong play in this football game?
Yes, I say he does. My sources this morning told me down in Lincoln that they expect him to play. I know he got in a non-contact day today. As far as where that puts him in the concussion protocol, I have no idea. I would deem that as probably he's getting pretty close, but we will talk about it a little bit later. As good as Tommy Armstrong is in terms of having a reputation as one of the best quarterbacks in the Big Ten, he's been struggling here in Big Ten play, and I don't know how much of a difference. Well, there's obviously going to be a difference between Riker Fife, who would be the backup quarterback there for the Cornhuskers, and Tommy Armstrong, just in terms of the amount of dual threat that they would be. But I do believe that Tommy is going to be playing on Saturday night.
All right, so let's actually stick with injuries. This is something we do every single episode. So we got some obvious injuries, right? We know Cody Polk is out for the year. We know that Brandon Lingen seemingly is done for the year, even though Tracy Clays won't admit it. What else do we have for injuries going into this game?
Well, you have to also talk about Garrison Wright, one of the starting right guard for Minnesota. He's been limited in practice this week. From the guys I talked with today, I don't know that he is going to play on Saturday. We're going to have to find out, and I'll know a little bit more later tonight. But I'm not really expecting Garrison Wright to be at 100% at all. You look at what Vincent Calhoun's been able to do at right guard. He started to play a little bit better in that second half against Purdue. But the injury report, other than that, is looking pretty clean, I believe. Cody Polk is out for the season. With a shoulder injury that he sustained in the second quarter, and they just decided to shut him down. Nick Rallis is out for the first half because of that suspension, and I'm sure we'll get to it here in a bit, but I believe that means Thomas Barber is going to be getting his first career start at Mike linebacker, and it comes in one of Minnesota's biggest games in about a decade.
Yeah.
So no pressure there, Thomas Barber, but we'll have to see how things continue to look as the week goes on.
All right, real quick, quick recruiting update. How about?
Yeah, so Minnesota was able to get a commitment out of Raheem Lane, a corner from Sebastian River down in the great state of Florida. He transferred from, I believe, Miami Norland to Sebastian River to get more playing time. I just didn't think it was a right fit, and Minnesota was able to go down and see him on their bye week. They weren't actually there to see him at his school in terms of they were looking at other kids. And then they watched a practice, and Rob Reeves, who was the coach down there, watched him practice and was like, who the hell is this kid? How many offers does he have? And the coach goes, he doesn't have a single offer. And so Reeves got some tape, sent it to Coach Savell. Savell approved. They got him on an official visit, and he was able to get a commitment out of him. He's someone that's a 6-foot cornerback, 190 pounds, and he will absolutely pop you in the mouth. That's very evident off film. He will love to come and try and do everything in his power to make sure you know that you just got tackled and you need to take a second to get up. So anytime you can find big corners that are 6 foot, great length, and can run, you're going to have a pretty good secondary. And so with Minnesota now having Raheem Lane, they have Trey Kramer as well, Jaquarius Landrews, then Claudin Sherrillis. Four defensive backs. I think Minnesota is going to end up taking one more, and that's going to be a safety. But you have Jaquarius Landrews, who's probably going to step in right away and replace Demaryius Travis. And then depending on how Claudin Sherrillis grows, he could be an outside linebacker. I think that we at Scout have him as an outside linebacker. So that's why you see him, or you see Minnesota rather, still recruiting another safety. And then Trey Kramer and Raheem Lane could come in and play right away again next season as Minnesota's trying to replace Jalen Myrick. And they have a lot of youth there. So I say Minnesota's doing pretty well with Jay Savell on that defensive back secondary.
All right, so let's get to this game. So Minnesota's coming in, as you've already stated, on a four-game winning streak, where Nebraska's on a two-game losing streak. Nebraska's two losses were to Ohio State, who at the time was ranked number six. It was a 62-3 loss. Wisconsin was the other loss, who was ranked number 11 at the time, and it was a 23-17 loss in overtime. It's actually quite a good game. And both of those losses actually come on the road. In terms of mutual opponents, both Minnesota and Nebraska have both played Purdue and both beat them. Nebraska beat Purdue 27-14. They also beat Illinois 31-16. Both of those games actually came at home. So let's actually start, Ryan, probably with when the Gophers are on defense. So Nebraska comes into this game averaging 28.8 points a game, where the Gophers give up 23.1. You know, they're a fairly balanced offense with about 214 yards in the passing game and 190 yards rushing. So right around 400 yards a game. We know that the Gophers' strength, you know, defensively is they've been better against the rush. And but, you know, after they've got those guys back from the restraining order and that whole ordeal, and the defense has seemingly played better with them. So when the Gophers are in defense, what are you expecting to see?
First and foremost, if Tommy Armstrong does play, you have to take account for him each and every time he drops back, because you saw even against Penn State with a dual threat quarterback like Trace McSorley, he was able to do some things with his legs when Minnesota would try and get after the passer and then go man coverage everywhere. If you try to rush five or six and you don't get home to the quarterback and you have man coverage everywhere, that means if the quarterback takes off up the middle, he's going to have green for days. And so I wouldn't be surprised to see Jay Sobel drop off one of his linebackers or defensive linemen each and every time, especially in second and third and long situations, and play a man spy on Tommy Armstrong because of his dual threat nature. Tommy in the Big Ten play has not actually been very efficient, we'll say. He's completing 49% of his passes, which is the worst in the Big Ten, and he's got a touchdown interception ratio of 4-7. So four touchdowns to seven interceptions, and we'll talk about it a little bit later, but it really does play a part in Nebraska's turnover margin. So you have to be able to figure out how to contain Tommy Armstrong in the pocket, because if you're able to keep him there and he has to make some decisions down the field, he's completing less than one of two passes every time he throws the ball, folks. So that's going to make for a lot of opportunities for this Gopher defense. Tommy's averaging over an interception a game. So guys like Jalen Myrick, Keontae Harden, Demaryius Travis, Antoine Winfield, if Minnesota is able to get after the passer, Tommy Armstrong should be throwing some balls up in the air. The issue for this Gopher defense is going to be exactly that, is rushing the passer. Minnesota's third in Big Ten play in terms of the amount of sacks they've been able to get. They have 16 sacks in six games, but this Nebraska offensive line has only given up three sacks in six games. So you have the third best in the Big Ten going against the first in terms of pass rush going against neutralizing pass rush. So that's going to be one of the huge battles if Minnesota's going to win the game. Can they get after the passer and make Tommy Armstrong uncomfortable in the pocket and make him throw some 50-50 balls, and are these linebackers and defensive backs able to make plays on it? Then you look at this rushing game. Terrell Newby is the name to know here. He's their leading rusher. I believe he's averaging around 4 yards a carry, four rushing touchdowns. Minnesota's run defense has been very, very good during Big Ten play. They are third in the Big Ten in terms of yards being given up by the run defense a game. Opponents are only averaging 117.8 yards a game. Minnesota's only given up four rushing touchdowns in six games, and I believe Minnesota is third in the Big Ten as well in terms of yards per carry average against them, 3.5 yards. The only two defenses in Big Ten play better than Minnesota are Wisconsin and Michigan. So I don't really see Nebraska having a ton of success on the ground, especially with the middle of Minnesota's defense in terms of their defensive line. Healthy Steven Richardson, Andrew Stelter, Scott Epke, Merrick Jackson. It is a little bit worrisome that Nick Rallis and Cody Polk are going to be out for the season, Nick Rallis for that first half. So I do, as I said earlier, anticipate Thomas Barber getting his first career start, and it's coming against Nebraska on the road and in a night game in Lincoln. So we'll see if the lights shine a little bit brighter for Thomas. I think he and Jalen Waters are going to see some time there at Mike in the first half, but we'll have to see, Luke. It's going to be certainly interesting because statistically wise, a couple of receivers to note are, or one in particular is Jordan Westerkamp, someone that Minnesota was recruiting hard in Jerry Kills, I believe first or second year, and he chose Nebraska over Minnesota. Those were the two finalists. And now that he's back from injury, he's a very good wide receiver. He's their leading wide receiver. So we'll see what Minnesota's pass defense has to say after getting picked apart in the first half and then being able to close down some things in the second half. But it's certainly going to be interesting because if Tommy Armstrong does not play, there is quite a bit of a step down from Tommy Armstrong to the backup Riker Fife. There's not as much dual threat nature, and especially because this offensive line is struggling to open holes for the running backs, just like Minnesota's offensive line has been able to do. I don't really know that Nebraska's built right now in terms of Mike Riley's second year to air it out, especially going against this Minnesota secondary. I know that folks have a bad taste in their mouth from last week in terms of Purdue being able to pick them apart in the first half, but we'll have to see how things progress throughout the game. But you have to figure out how to contain Tommy Armstrong in the pocket, continue to shut down the run, and make Tommy try and take some shots down the field because he has not been very efficient with the ball at all.
All right, so let's talk now just a little bit when the Gophers are on offense. You know, I don't think there's any denying the Gophers want to run the football. And quite frankly, you know, Nebraska is coming off of, you know, two games where they pretty much took it on. Well, the one game they really took on the chin against Ohio State, and then kind of a really disappointing loss at Wisconsin. So I'm curious to get your thoughts on how you think the Gophers are going to try and attack Nebraska, and just from a mental state coming off that game where they give up 62 points. You know, where is Nebraska mentally, defensively?
That's going to be a huge part of this game, and we're going to find out in the first quarter, especially Minnesota with a lot of momentum coming into the game, four straight Big Ten victories going against a Nebraska team that, as you mentioned, just took it on the chin last week with a 59-point road loss to Ohio State and then a tough loss to Wisconsin. So you mentioned being able to run the ball, and while Nebraska's yards per carry and just their rushing numbers in the Big Ten look middle of the pack or even upper echelon in the Big Ten play, I looked at four rushing offenses that I think that are about the same quality as Minnesota in terms of Illinois. Illinois' run offense is actually pretty good. The issue is they suck, so they can't run the ball because they're always down. But then we also look at Wisconsin, Ohio State, and Oregon. So I wanted to see how did their run defense stack against some pretty good rushing offenses. So here's what it said. Oregon was able to average 7.1 yards per carry on 47 attempts. Illinois was able to run 5.9 yards per carry on 21 attempts. Wisconsin had a 5.9 yards per carry on 38 attempts. And Ohio State averaged 5.7 yards per carry on 42 attempts. So what does that tell you? That tells me Minnesota should be able to find some success in terms of rushing the ball. Those are four rushing defenses or rushing offenses that were able to average at least 5.7 yards per carry. And three of the four ran the ball over 38 times. So with Minnesota and having Shannon Brooks likely back this week, you look at what Ronnie Smith and what Shannon Brooks have been able to do so far in the Big Ten and just this entire season in terms of creating at the line of scrimmage to make their offensive line look a lot better than they are right now. And if Minnesota is able to continue to do that, I think that they're going to continue to be playing in positive game scripts. So they're going to be within a touchdown or leading, and they're going to be able to continue to run the ball and try to find success there because we all know Minnesota's passing offense hasn't been great, even though they started to take a step forward last week, and especially with their deep shot passing game. So I do anticipate if Minnesota shows up that they should be able to run the ball just fine. And you talked about it as well. I mean, we'll talk about it a little bit more when we get to the keys of the game. But this first quarter in Lincoln Saturday night, I think is going to tell the complete story of how this game is going to go. Minnesota has a lot of momentum. They're riding high, four straight Big Ten victories. Yes, you can try and show me that It wasn't the greatest of opponents, well aware of that. But in that same respect, you look at Nebraska, two tough losses, and they just got slapped in the face last week by an Ohio State team. They lost their senior leader on a stretcher on the field. He comes back. Where are they at? And if Minnesota comes out and grabs an early lead by 10 points or so, how does this Nebraska team respond? How does the Lincoln crowd respond? They've already seen two straight Big Ten losses. You have to know their fan base may get a little bit angry with them, and that's going to play right into the hands of Minnesota. So another thing I should mention with this Gopher offense going against Nebraska is Nebraska does lead the Big Ten in interceptions so far during Big Ten play. So Leidner has, I believe, has thrown an interception in five straight games. I'd have to go back and double check, but I believe it's five straight now. Nebraska's leading the Big Ten with eight interceptions so far. One was returned for a touchdown. So what the statistical probabilities would show me is that there's a very likely chance Mitch Leidner's going to throw a pick. When you look at Nebraska being a very opportunistic defense and Mitch Leidner throwing an interception already in four or five straight games now. So I do anticipate that to happen. So hopefully Minnesota can continue to take care of the ball for the most part and being able to put themselves in advantageous situations in the plus minus.
All right. Let's get into your keys of the game. But first, how about some betting information? So the line for this game is Nebraska by 7 with an over under of 48. On the season, Minnesota is 3-6 overall against the spread. Nebraska is 4-4-1. Minnesota is 2-1 as the underdog, and Nebraska is 3-3-1 as the favorite. Minnesota has a 3-0 record against the spread on the road, and Nebraska is 2-2-1 at home against the spread.
So if Minnesota's 3-0 versus spread, that means with this game being a -7,
yep,
you would take Minnesota here.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Basically, I mean, you know, a small sample size of 3. I mean, in football, it's always kind of a smallish sample size. But yeah, I mean, you know, 3. They've fared quite much. Statistically, they fared much better as the underdog and on the road. So I mean, this would be an opportunity if you're a betting person to maybe go after Minnesota. You know, to this point too, I wonder if this line assumes that Tommy Armstrong is going to play or not. I'm not sure of that. I'd kind of assume it would. But yeah, it, pretty interesting overall. Okay, Ryan, how about your keys to this game?
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit already, but Minnesota's got to be able to run the ball, and they have to be able to come out with a fast start because, as we mentioned, there's football just in general is a game of momentum. And so where you look at where the two tides for each teams are coming in for this weekend, again, Minnesota's feeling very good about themselves. They've won four straight Big Ten games. They think that they have a serious shot in the Big Ten West. And you look at Nebraska on the other side of things, they lost a tough game to Wisconsin. And then they just got slapped across the face by Ohio State by 59 points on the road in Columbus. They lost their senior quarterback on the stretcher. He comes back. So even if they get Tommy Armstrong back, I think if Minnesota is able to come out on their first drive, so say they win the coin toss, take the ball, come out and get a score early and then get a stop, I'm very, very interested to see how this Nebraska team responds because I think this is a Minnesota team that's playing with a lot of momentum right now. We talked about it already, too. Minnesota's got to be able to continue and try and run the ball. They are not a team that is built that once they get down two touchdowns to make it go through the air. Another stat to point to is the fact that Tracy Clays has never lost a game by more than 14 points. And that one time being at Ohio State last year. So for those thinking into this or listening to this podcast and being very pessimistic, thinking Minnesota's going to get boat raced, Minnesota's teams with Tracy, and I believe the sample size is actually getting relatively large now. I believe it's 12 games or 13 games. So you basically have an entire season under Tracy's belt, and his team has been competitive in each and every game. So I think if Minnesota is able to grab momentum early, I'm very interested to see how things go. We talked about it already, too. I think you have to be able to contain Tommy Armstrong with his legs. That worries me a lot more than Tommy Armstrong with his arm because the running quarterback, you saw it against Penn State, Trace McSorley was able to extend some drives in the fourth quarter with his legs. So hopefully Jay Sovell has learned his lesson there, that when you get in these second and third type of situations and you want to try and get after the passer, you have to be able to have somebody on the quarterback, or else he can run 15, 20 yards down the field unevaded because everybody's in man coverage trying to make sure that their guy isn't the one that Tommy throws the ball to. So hopefully Minnesota plays a little bit more zone, or they are playing some man spy against the quarterback. And then finally, Minnesota's got to be able to win the turnover margin. You look at Big Ten play thus far. Minnesota is +9 in 6 games, and Nebraska is -2. Tommy has given the ball away quite a bit. He's got 7 interceptions already. And if Minnesota's going to continue to win ball games, you look at for a large amount of their success, it's because they keep winning the take give, which means they have extra possessions compared to the other team. And Minnesota has been very efficient with those possessions in terms of turning them into points. I also think field position is going to play a large part in this game. Nebraska has the worst net punting average in the Big Ten. Luke brought it up to me in the pre-production meeting that a large part of that goes out to their punter who tragically passed away before the start of the season. And, you know, our prayers here on the Gopher Gridiron Radio podcast go out to he and his family, but the fact still remains that Nebraska is terrible in their punting game. They average 32 yards per net punt, which is just egregious. So if Minnesota is going to continue to win the field position game and being able to emerge with a victory, I think that's going to be coming into play largely. And then finally, I think it's also worth noting that Nebraska's opponent. So we talked about it a little bit last week when Minnesota was going against Purdue. Purdue's opponents in Big Ten play had been averaging over 10 penalties a game against them. So Minnesota goes from that to now they're going against a Nebraska team whose opponents, so whoever Nebraska is playing, those teams have only committed 21 penalties in 6 games. So you go from a Purdue team that their opponents are averaging more than 10 penalties against them to a Nebraska team whose opponents are only averaging 3 penalties against them. So
such a goofy stat.
I know it's such an odd stat, but I would be very, very happy if Minnesota only commits 3 penalties against Nebraska, because more times than not, that's probably going to mean you are winning the ball game.
You know, Minnesota only had 5 penalties last game against.
I think they only had 6 the game before. So we are starting to get back on the right trajectory towards that, coming back down from all those high penalty games early.
Yeah, and they've seemingly done a better job with pre-snap penalties too. That had been kind of their Achilles heel in those penalties early in the season. So, all right, let's get into this game prediction. Seems like it's going to be a pretty nice weather game. It's something like high of 57 that day. It is a night game, so 6:30. You know, the sun's not out, so you have no excuse to not watch the game. It's not like you can be outside. So, Ryan, what do you got for a prediction?
Yeah, I'm still in the process of writing my my game preview article. I'm a little bit behind because I've been spending some extra time in the tree stand this week trying to get my bow tag. And, yeah, unfortunately, long story short, I haven't been able to close the deal on a shooter buck yet. So
That's just like the weekly Ryan deer hunting update for those keeping track at home. And for the record, he did name the deer that he's trying to get.
I did. His name is Kahuna. In terms of the big Kahuna, for those who are deer hunters, I believe he's a 6.5-year-old buck. He is well north of 250 pounds field dressed, and I think he's probably around 155 inches. So his body is a lot bigger than his rack. But anytime that you're able to pull the string back on a 6.5-year-old buck, you take it every day of the week and twice on Sunday. So unfortunately, I haven't been able to close the deal on him. So I'm a little bit behind in terms of my game preparation, but in terms of my game prediction, Luke, I'm still a little bit torn on what I expect to see about 48 hours from now. I told the story here already on the podcast that I think the first quarter is going to tell me everything I need to know in terms of Minnesota has found ways in games like this already this season. They found ways to lose.
Yeah.
You saw the Penn State game. You saw the Iowa game. So has Minnesota learned their valuable lessons from earlier in the season? They've won their 4 straight games now. Will they find a way to win in the second half? Because there is going to be a time that I'm guessing it'll turn into a 24-20 game in the fourth quarter, how does Minnesota respond? I think that's going to tell you a lot about their chances, and it's going to tell us a lot about how serious of contenders Minnesota is in the Big Ten West. I'm also very curious to see how Mitch Leidner responds. There's been a lot of talk this week from the beat writers in terms of Andy Greeter, Joe Christensen, about how Leidner has been the last one off the practice field each and every day, and like far and beyond off the practice field, like 20, 30 minutes behind the last player or coach walks off the field trying to get extra reps in. He knows how important this game is. Every Gopher fan knows how important this game is, because if Minnesota is able to steal this one on the road and then come home and take care of business against a Northwestern team on senior day, I think you set yourselves up for a situation like it was 2 years ago, where Minnesota goes into Camp Randall having to beat Wisconsin to have a shot to go to the Big Ten championship game in Indianapolis. And that's exactly what, I mean, if you're a Gopher fan, that's what you want. You want it. There would be no sweeter of a win than beating Madison in Madison and then beating them to go to the Big Ten West or the Big Ten title game, where either Michigan or Ohio State is probably going to rock you. But even still, it doesn't really matter at this point. So as far as the game prediction, I still don't really feel like this is a win for Minnesota right now. I think this is the first time all season, Luke, that I'm predicting a Gopher football loss.
I think
this is a 27-24 Nebraska win. Again, it is going to come down to whether Tommy Armstrong plays or not, because that has a serious impact on this Cornhusker offense. There is a large drop in play from Tommy Armstrong to Riker Fife. There's a large drop in terms of their dual threat natures, one being able to do a lot of things with his legs and Riker Fife not being able to do a whole heck of a lot with his legs. So I think this is a 27-24 Minnesota loss, which, again, Minnesota has yet to play a complete game. If you were to tell me, Luke, like if we're talking Saturday or Sunday morning right now, the only question I would ask you is, did Minnesota play a complete game? And if you told me yes or no, that's going to tell me all I need to know in terms of what the score looked like, in my opinion. Minnesota's yet to do it through nine games. And if you're going to beat Nebraska on the road, no matter what you think of this Cornhusker team, whether you think they're worth a top 25 ranking or not, this is still one of the better opponents, if not the best opponent Minnesota has faced this season. And they're going to have to play well in all three facets of the game. So if Minnesota shows up and plays well, offense, defense, and special teams, they're going to win the game. But if only one of those three things, you know, plays the way that they have in the first nine games in terms of being kind of a thorn in the side of this Minnesota football team, I don't think that's going to be enough for Minnesota to be able to overcome that. But Luke, what do you think?
This is a tough game. It's kind of not fair for us to try and predict, like you said, without Tommy Armstrong playing.
Yeah, that is the huge disclaimer here, right? Because again, no matter what you think of Tommy Armstrong, and I've laid out the statistical case, he has not been playing well in Big Ten play. But that being said, he is still a huge part of the Nebraska offense because he's able to do a lot of things with his legs, and his backup is not able to do that.
Yeah, for those actually traveling to the game, I've actually been to a game at Memorial Stadium. It is, I think it's called Memorial Stadium.
Yep.
In Lincoln, I actually went. And actually, Adrian Peterson played in that game. It was Oklahoma and Nebraska, and I believe Sam Bradford might have even been the quarterback that year. All that said, it's a great experience, so enjoy that. They have some rabid college football fans, and it is absolutely fun to go. But you know what? I think that the home advantage is going to maybe be too much, you know, under the lights, and I got Nebraska winning 24-21.
I can already start to feel the tweets and the emails coming in saying to put on your maroon and gold glasses, you pessimistic. I was called pessimistic for the first time I had somebody tweet me saying I was very pessimistic on the Gophers. I think that's probably the first time that's ever been said about me in this Golden Gopher football team, because I get called the maroon and gold Kool-Aid man far more often than I think I should. But, you know, I hope Luke and I are wrong. I hope Minnesota shows up, is able to play a complete game. They're able to get after the quarterback and they're able to establish the running game. But I think this is going to be a very, very close game, and it's going to come down to, as we said, can Minnesota play all three facets of the game well, and can they find a way to win? Because they've already proven this season they can find a way to lose. Mm-hmm. When everything is there for the taking, they had multiple opportunities against Penn State. They were winning in the fourth quarter against Iowa. They didn't find ways to win. It's the third time the charm for this Gopher football team. We will all find out Saturday night.